And one. Welcome, BBS Radio.
Bingo.
It is Sunday. Winfrey's Grid Healing. And we welcome you all, listeners. We're still welcoming conference call people. So
yes.
Hang in there, and we're waiting for Win.
Sunday, August 18th, 2013. Yeah.
That's us.
Hi, Morgan.
I think that was somebody in the ethers that was talking to us.
Again.
Nice voice, though.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the one the Lord gave me.
Aww. It sounds like a good old singing voice.
Exactly. Welcome to Sunday's Grid Healing. Please state your name and your city.
Hi, this is Susan from Mesa.
Hi, Susan. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, Lucy.
Hi.
He sounds terrible, doesn't he? He's making it, too.
Welcome to
Sunday's
Grid Healing. Yeah, we have like two other people come on in. You like to say your name and locate?
Hi, my name is Carolyn. I'm in Sacramento.
Hello,
hey,
Carolyn. Welcome.
Hi, Carolyn. Welcome, Carolyn. Nice name.
It's Carolyn.
Yeah. I know I say it in French. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. It's funny.
Beautiful.
We're all just being a little silly right now. Don't worry about us.
Yeah, we've got the energy pumping.
Great.
We're getting the spiritual heart going.
Welcome to Sunday's Grid Healing. Please state your name and your city. One of them had to have been Wint. He's got to be online. Does anybody hear Terry?
Oh, I'm sure we hear Terry. She'd be like, hello, everybody. She likes to say hi.
Good try.
Anybody,
yeah.
Anybody interested? David Wilcox is supposed to be on Coast to Coast tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is he?
Oh, nice to know. Thank you.
Speaking of David, are you out there?
I'm here. Which David?
Yeah, what David are you talking about? We have so many.
The missing David. Call, phone home, David. Phone home.
The
I'm
missing
home.
David.
Call in.
Are we talking about Dave Masty?
Oh, yeah.
Ah, okay. Well,
the missing one.
If he's listening to BBS, he just heard us.
No kidding.
Yeah, we were just talking about him earlier, wondering what happened to him.
Yeah.
We're slacking. Welcome to the Sunday Grid Healing Call. Would you like to say your name and location?
This is Carla in Kentucky.
Carla! Hello, Carla!
Carla! Nice
to
meet you.
Hey, Carla.
Hiya.
And we had another person
come
in.
What?
We had another person come in. If you'd like to say your location and another one.
Hi, this is Gail.
In Chicago, but I'm doing it slowly.
Welcome to Sunday's Grid Healing. Please state your name and your city.
It sounded like a crazy house.
It is
crazy house.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Win.
Muted.
All right. You're all muted.
Unmuted.
Good morning. Good morning.
So
we're all
their authority. Hey.
So, who is that? We were designated by Hive, Marilyn and I.
Hello.
Is that Dave? Yes,
Dave
sir.
Dave and Mesa, yes.
Yep. Hey, Dave. Is Carla here today?
I am.
Yes.
Carla, how come you're not keeping these people in line?
Well, I thought they were behaving beautifully, Win. I don't know what you're talking about.
She's one of us.
All right. I love that. Welcome to
Good morning.
like to say your labor, your name and location. Oh, they're all coming in now.
Good morning. Welcome to Grid Healing. Please say your name and your city when you get a chance.
Good morning.
We're reverberating now.
Good morning, everybody. This is Terry.
Good morning, Terry. We've been waiting for you.
Morning, Terry.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Terry.
Whoa. I'm in,
hey, Michael. Michael, did you want me to call you after the call?
Actually, I was going to send you a letter, a printout, you know, of some diet change I've made.
Okay, to the email?
You have an email? You can email me.
I'll give you a call afterwards. I'll give it to you.
Michael, are you talking about the Hershey bar diet?
No, the one that has the mushrooms exposed to ultraviolet light for a second, raising the vitamin D level, and chia pet, and the baby squids. Wrong.
Are we on BBS right now?
Yes,
we are.
Okay, hello everybody on BBS out there on the airwaves all over the country. Hello to Norway. Hello to, what do we have, people, Terry? We have somebody in Great Britain. And, hang on. Latvia? Bulgaria?
Wow.
Good morning. This is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city? No. All right.
Muted.
Be that way. You're muted. Okay. at least when I don't mute people, when I mute you, who was it? Who was it that would mute people and make a big explosion? Okay, you're gone, and then you push a button, that would be, shh. Was that radio host?
That sounds cool.
Yeah. Now, let me see. Let me start the...
This conference is being recorded.
We just started our recording, and this is Sunday, August 18th, 2013. Wynn and Terry in Arizona. Carla in Kentucky, and everyone else everywhere. And I was thinking, you know, there are certain things that we do that we don't realize are sabotaging us. And because there's not a direct cause and effect, okay? It's like if you put yourself on a hot stove, you get a definite cause and effect, and you know you got burned, and then you probably won't do it again. But there's a lot of things we do that have, there are cause and effect in it, but it's not immediate. And you, hang on a second, let me mute all those dings. Hang on.
These are a few of my favorite things.
And one of the, you know, I wanted to point out one thing that it's so easy to be guilty of and do it and not realize that you are damaging your energy dramatically by doing it. You know, if you want a clear shot at the spirit, if you want to have your chakras open, if you want to make higher connections, there's a couple of things that can stand in the way, and we can all be guilty of them. Guilt is one of them, but we can all be guilty of doing these things, but we don't realize we're doing it. And you like that topic, Carla?
Yeah, that sounds like a good one.
Yeah.
You're leaving me in suspense here.
I'm leaving you in suspense.
Yes, what is it?
Well, the one thing that popped in, there's other things. One of the things is seeing what's in the best in a person and not worrying about everything else. People tend to look at what's wrong with people. And then not only do they look at what's wrong, but they always talk about it to someone else because it makes them feel better, okay? And it makes them feel superior. And, you know, every one of us has things that are not perfect, maybe far from perfect. And yet every one of us has things which are perfect. And, you know, there's people that I can, even right now, I can put them in my mind's eye, and I can see, it's so hard to talk to them because they always present a side of themselves which is irritable. And yet, when I pull away from them, I can feel them, and I can see their beauty. And, you know, maybe I won't be able to relate it with them. Maybe they won't share it back and forth, but I can see it. And I don't want to lose that view. I don't want, because I happen to know when you can do that with someone, not only are you helping yourself, but you actually are helping them, because on the inner planes, they get it. Sometimes it takes a long time. This is like not a quick fix, but if you can focus on what's good in somebody over a period of time, there's a good chance they will manifest that to you because they'll feel it. If you're starting to focus on what's wrong with them, then they feel that. And everybody, everybody is looking for someone to see their best side. Every one of us wants to be seen in the best light. And why is it that humans have such a hard time doing that? And they always focus in, I wouldn't say always, but so often they focus in on a person's weakness. And they say, oh, they're like that. Or they have so much pride. Or they talk too much. Or they can't figure out how to unmute the phone. Are you there, Jerry? That's not really a weakness. But, and it's like, it's such a simple thing, and you don't realize it because you think, well, I'm just thinking about it. You could observe somebody, and you could say, okay, I observed them, and they're like this. There's part of them that's like that, and there's part of them that's like this, and, you know, it's kind of like people are like smorgasbords. They come and they present this big panoply. Is that the word, Carla? Panoply?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Panoply of stuff. And then it's up to you to pick what you're going to choose to relate to, what you're going to reinforce in them. And oftentimes, when you're picking the negative out of a panoply, you're picking something that's in you. You know, when somebody really irritates you because they have something, some negative side, usually they're irritating you because it's in you. Exactly what they're doing is something in you. Now, they may do it worse than you. It may be more repressed than you. It may be a tendency, but it's there. Because if it wasn't in you, you would flow around it, and you'd notice it, and it wouldn't go bing. And you would just move on. But if it's part of it's in you, it'll stick you. You'll get stuck on it, and you'll hang there, and you won't move through it. And just by disciplining yourself, you know, I said at the beginning, things people do that they don't realize how it separates them from spirit. And this is one of them. You know, and to make it even worse, it's like when you talk to someone else, do you ever realize how easy it is to bond with someone if you're talking about what's wrong with someone else, and that how your conversations always become about what's wrong with everybody? Oh, how's John? How's this person? He did this. How's that person? He did that. And, you know, those are conversations that are not worth having. Those are conversations where not only are you, you know, focusing on what's negative in somebody else, you're creating a bond with someone else on what's negative in someone. Now, not only are you noticing they're negative, you've made an agreement with someone else, you've talked about them to someone else, and you know, the person you're talking about happens to change in the next day or the next week or the next month, they really change, that other person is going to keep seeing them in the way you were talking to them. And you damage that person's ability to shift and grow and change. And I don't know, Carla, you never did this. Did you? I bet you did when you were young.
I think that we all have that delicious feeling of gossip. And
yeah.
I think it's fun, right, because it is wrong. You know, it's just like you know it's wrong, and that's why it feels so good. Somehow.
Here's the thing. Things that are wrong feel good in the moment. Things that are right feel good for your life.
Right.
And
along those lines, there was this, I don't know if I've shared this over the line or not, but there was this boss that I had when I was a really young woman, and it was my first professional job, and I knew I had to keep that job, and she just griped the heck out of me because she didn't know how to have an assistant, and she was older, and she'd never had one before, and I was her first assistant. She had no idea how to have an assistant, and she was, everything was wrong that she did. So it was just designed to make my life one long misery. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? And typically for myself, I thought, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to love her. And I am going to focus on her as if I loved her dearly. And I will react not to what she's doing, but this construct I had in my mind that I loved. And I started doing that. And within 2 weeks, I had fallen in love with her, because under that kind of attention, she bloomed. And she told me little things about herself that made me understand why she was doing all of these vastly irritating things. And I had sympathy for her. And, you know, I woke up to many things that she taught me. And she made my professional life from then on, because she told me why you did everything that you did in the library business and made it possible for me to go from that job to a fully professional job with my own library at the age of 21, believe it or not. I had managed to do that. And
all
because of her. And it was strictly because I decided that I really needed to love her, and so I was going to do it. And that's the power of love. That's the power of positive attention. And sometimes you don't even see that person. It's not even visible. But under the kind attention of someone, who is sympathetic, that person will begin to show their very best side to you, and you really will find all kinds of reasons to fall in love with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, what you're saying is true, and it's true in so many different ways, and it's such a, the best thing you can do for somebody is just to focus your kind attention, just kindness, simple kindness.
Now, you know, I think the only person I know that never, ever, ever does this is Terry. I can't remember her looking at somebody and finding their faults and talking about it. Now, you know, sometimes if we're working with people, you know, we're working with people and people are looking at us, and I have to make decisions about, you know, let this person do that or that person do that. I might talk about it. And I'll notice their weaknesses, and I'll say their weaknesses might sabotage that particular thing. And so it wouldn't be good to let them do that. But it's not, there's no, the key here is that there's no judgment involved. It's this thing of making somebody wrong for their weaknesses. Or they, you know, the word should implies judgment. He should do this. She shouldn't do that. You know, as soon as you hear a should in your head, then there's probably a judgment attached to it.
And if you're saying it about yourself, then you're
judging
yourself.
You're judging yourself, right. And you have no idea how this blocks your spiritual connection. I can see it so clearly, because if we are trying to live up to the law of one, which means to see everybody as part of you, everybody in truth is part of you. And it's like if you can't see it, then that's a block, and what's causing those blocks? Well, this is one of the first things that blocks you, is creating judgments of other people. Now, some people push your button. Here's a hard one. There are people that push your button. They know how to push your button, especially oftentimes when you're married to them. The people that you're closest to know how to push your button. And, of course, you know how to push their button. What do you do when somebody's close to you is pushing your button and you think they're doing it intentionally? That's a really hard one to walk away. That gets somebody really angry. It really tempts you to judge them. What do you do? What do you do, Carla? I don't think Jim pushes your buttons, does he?
No, he doesn't have that in him, you know, the way some people have that instinct.
Yeah.
But I think there are always people that will do that to you. I guess I have a tendency, it's not a good one, but I go within. I duck into myself, and I don't know how to handle it in the short run, so I just hang in there for the long run and pray for guidance. I guess that's pretty much what I do. I'm like, what do I do now, Lord? Oh, heavens. And, you know, eventually it'll come to me.
Now, here's a good idea. Here's a good thing to work with when somebody pushes your button, okay, even when they do it incessantly. Inside yourself, say, I'm so glad I have this person in my life to point out to me my place of vulnerability and just turn it into a positive. If you turn it into a positive, and suddenly you're saying, thank you inside yourself for making me aware of this area where somebody can get to me, you keep doing that, you're turning it around, okay? And after a while, they'll do it, and they won't get to you. They'll say, oh, there he is again. What is doing that, right? So, how do you like that one? Is that a good one?
That's a great one. Yeah. If I could think on my feet like that.
Yeah. Just say, this person is making me aware. They're like, you know, the truth of the matter is, the people that push your buttons are your greatest teachers. You know, the people that are just your total support, they're wonderful to be around, but it's the button pushers that are constantly teaching you. They're showing you where your edges are. It was like, this works on a small level and a big level, a small level and a big level, because on a small level, we're the human side. But even when the Ra group was talking about evolution of souls in the universe, you know, apparently there were planets and there were areas where souls were, everything was easy. They didn't have polarity. And that what they said was that those souls took, it takes a long, 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 long time for a soul to go through all they need to go through to get to God realization, Godhead, whatever you want to call it. You know, maybe millions of years.
That's
through
right.
All.
Oh, and you, when you think to yourself, I wish to heaven that I just knew how everything was. I could just see into it. And yet, what they said was that when it was like that, and when there was no veil, that nobody wanted to progress, because why bother? They understood how everything was, and if they didn't get it right this time, well, they get it right next time. What's the problem? So nobody learned. Nobody got off the dime and moved. And it's really hard to remember that, though, when you know, the hard world is beating you around the head and shoulders, and you just want peace. And oh, please, you know, please, can I just have a little peace? And you know, the peace would come, I suppose, from this ability to know how everything was.
Right. Well, in those worlds where there was no negative catalyst, where there was not polarization, where everyone was just loving, I guess you would call it, there was no one was growing. Everyone was too comfortable. And so polarity was put into the picture, polarity meaning the negative, and it greatly accelerated people's growth. What does growth mean? Growth means, to me, it means you could use the word expanding your awareness. I like to use the word holograms, to be at a higher level of hologram. And the way as I see it, there are nesting holograms of reality, one on top of the other, on top of the other. Now, you could call these densities, which Ra does. You could call them dimensions, which people do. But they're really visualizing it. It's like a whole umbrella over reality. And on top of that umbrella, when you peek through, there's a new reality. And then on top of that, there's another reality. And there's all these awarenesses from these different realities. And they're not equal. It's not like different points of view. In other words, it's not like, I'm a socialist, or I'm a capitalist, or I'm an existentialist. These are overarching realities that encompass many points of view. And when you move into one, you suddenly see all those things under it from a higher aspect. And then you move into another one, and you see all the stuff that's under that in a higher aspect. And this is what evolution is about, moving up through these reality umbrellas and being able to look down on the realities underneath that particular umbrella. And when you are learning how to do that, you are getting wisdom. You're not getting knowledge, you're getting wisdom. And you can look at that whole entire umbrella underneath you, and you can say to yourself, I've been there, I've done that. Then you have the ability to talk, to communicate, share to those people in that umbrella. You can find any that will listen to you, and they'll know that you understand. They'll know you've been there and done that. That's evolution. And what propels someone to move up to find another level of umbrella higher is suffering. Suffering, because suffering keeps you trapped in that umbrella. That's why when everyone's happy in their particular contracted view of reality, they have no thrust to change. And so they don't grow to a higher level of umbrella, looking down and being able to have something. They don't become a teacher. They're just having fun in the reality they're in. So this polarization of negative and positive creates suffering, and suffering. Now, this may not be the only way to do it, but it seems to be a pretty good way. Suffering pushes you through to the next level. Because when you get to the next level, you now can look back on your suffering and say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I understand that now. I'm not going to do the things that created that. You know, it was William Blake, one of my favorite quotes was, the path of excess leads to the palace of wisdom. And so, you know, when you're in this realm, whether excess means gossip, whether it means drugs, whether it means sex, whether it means whatever, it's like, for some of us, we've had to go through those things because then we understand how to help people who are there. We're not doing it, but we did it. And some of us did it in other lifetimes. And maybe some of us did it 50 lifetimes ago, and we still have the cellular memory of it. You see, because it all carries forth through eternity. Once you really make advance, unless you really screw up, once you really graduate to another umbrella and look down on the place you were at, and then that new umbrella has a whole other level of lessons to it. And then you can look down on that. And what brought this whole idea was the very simple thing that those people who needle you, those people that push your buttons, are your personal negative catalyst. They're your personal things in your life to help thrust you to a higher level of understanding, to a higher level of compassion, to a higher level of awareness. And those are the things, those people are your teachers. Even when they don't know that, even when they have negative intent, even when they enjoy your suffering and they're cruel, they are your teachers because they're teaching you how to detach yourself from the whole deal and move through, because that is the only way out. You're in a box otherwise. So that is your thrust. And the way to use it as your thrust is to bless it. To just say, you know, constantly say, thank you, I'm glad I'm having this experience, thank you. And there, that way, you turn what's negative into positive, and it's now you have the rocket fuel to propel yourself into a higher umbrella. And if that person happens to be your wife or your husband or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your child or whatever, then say, geez, thank you, God. I got it all the time. There's no way out unless I lift up. It's like, as long as you can say that, instead of saying, God damn it, how did I end up with this guy? You know, he leaves turn around all the time. You know, he does this, he does that, he does that. And you're in a constant state of upset when, excuse me, wait a second, I'm just going to shut my... Wait a second. Sorry. That comes over on my computer, and it's my Google Voice, and someone else is supposed to pick it up. Now, let me see let me shut my Gmail down, and I shouldn't get that. Okay. There we go. Oh, it was Terry getting it. Okay. So, does that make any sense to you, Carla?
It makes a beautiful kind of sense to me, even though it sounds a little bit like, the opposite of sadistic. It sounds masochistic. It almost sounds masochistic, but by golly, that doesn't make sense to me. If I could just remember that, Wynn, I think I'd really have something.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead and thank the Lord for what's going on that's irritating me. Because, after all, why would it irritate you? That's what you think. Okay, why is it irritating me? Well, okay, logically, if all is one and that person is actually me, then that person is like a mirror. And the only reason that I would notice it instead of other mirrors is that it's caught me. And why would it catch me unless there was something in me that I recognized? Somehow it wouldn't irritate me if I didn't have the ability to recognize the evil of it, you know? And the reason I recognize it is, guess what? It's something I came here to work on. And here's this person that's a gift from the Lord, you know, showing me what it is I need to work on. So why would I not thank the Creator for that? Well, you know, it's all human nature. You don't really want to thank the Creator.
But I don't even know if I said the person's showing me what I need to work on. Because that turns it into too linear a deal. It's like you start thinking about it, and if you think you have to work on something, you're almost already saying I must be wrong, and there's something wrong with me. And if you can take it all as being perfect, even as imperfection, that's the way you move to the higher reality bubble, okay? Because, you know, the things that were wrong with me 30 years ago are still wrong with me, okay? I'm just in a higher reality bubble. I look down on them, and I say, you know, they don't run me. I don't, you know, where they might have run me years ago, I can just look at them, and I say, oh, there's that part of me, or there's this part of me. But I'm looking down on it, and it's not really, I can't even work on it, because this is my take for myself. It's still there. It's just not in my face. It's kind of like if you're in a city and there's a lot of garbage on the street and you're walking around and you kick garbage around all the time. The same token, if you were above the city, you would only see the beautiful things in the city, and you'd have to get a zoom lens to get even notice that there was garbage there. Still there. It's just that you're looking at it from a higher aspect. And this is the key is not trying to fix yourself at the lower levels, not sitting there saying, I got to pick up all the garbage. No, look how big this city is. It'll take me 20 lifetimes to even make a dent in this. And you can't. You got to raise your perspective so that the garbage becomes small and you can look at it from the top down and not, like, pick yourself apart and say, all these things are wrong with me and I have to fix them. And then you'll never get there. It's too big. For all of us, it's too big. There's too many things wrong with us. So the only way out is the way up. And I'm getting really articulate on this. I've got to read this transcript because I think there's a lot of stuff that's mixed in here. Terry, you want to say anything on this? By the way, you know, I think one of the things Terry has done in the past, can I talk about you, Terry?
Yeah.
Okay. She has this aspect of herself where she has felt that you have to go through every tiny little thing and release it. And that's the way you evolve. And I disagree. I think, you know, you can do that, but I just think it's an overwhelming task, except as if you keep loving everything that's negative, loving it. And you know what? We got a lot of practice in today's world to love the things that are negative because it's all over us. It's on TV. It's in the newspapers. It's in the shadow government. It's this and that and the other thing. And that, yes, it's really negative. Yes, it is. And you want to get stuck on judging it? You want to get stuck on focusing it? You want to polarize with it? You know, it's going to hold you in its grasp. And so you could say, thank you that I have so much catalyst here to rise above that forces me, that there's no other option but to get to a higher place and look down on it. And make it small from that higher place. Make it like the garbage in the city that you can go way up on. And then I think that's the way you set yourself up to graduate this realm. Because when you start doing that, you start operating from another dimension and you look down on all of it and you're not there anymore. Terry, go ahead. I was going to have you talk.
Well, sometimes a person can see their faults and make a whole big deal about it. But if a person, as Wynn was saying, looks at it from above, then they can start to see all of the good things about themselves. And then the small things they want to correct, I have a bunch of multidimensional aspects of this coming in right now, because sometimes it's not them. It's something that is reflected in them, but it's from consensus reality or something that would be very hard to correct because it really is coming in to them and really isn't them. That if a person can focus on all of the good things about them and really validate themselves for it, then whatever they would like to correct can seem small by comparison. And so if you're going to correct somebody, including yourself, it's easy if a person looks at themselves and they see all these myriad of wonderful things about themselves and say, oh, there's that little thing, then it gets smaller by comparison. And it's easier to say, oh, no, I can go ahead and correct that. So those are my comments.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you can ever correct anything. I think it can.
You can begin to. Maybe the word is balance.
Well,
correcting,
like,
in the sense of if 2 + 2 = 5, well, you can correct that, and you make it 2 + 2 = 4. Just you change an error, so you could go that far.
Well, here's I'll tell you how I'm thinking about it. Some of you have been coming into these calls for quite some time, and there's an energy on these calls which almost, if you keep coming in, it pushes you to start looking at things from a higher place. And if you don't do that, you probably won't keep coming. It'll get boring because you won't get it. But the energy causes you to start looking at things, and over a period of time, something shifts inside you. And it's like sometimes you got to go back and remember how you were a year ago or 2 years ago. Like, you felt alienated, you felt this. Now, if you're new, this may not have occurred for you. If you're listening and you're new on the call, I'm talking about usually for people that have been coming to the calls for 6 months to a year. Sometimes it takes 2 years. But there's a shift that happens bit by bit by bit. And then you look at yourself and you say, geez, those things that were bothering me 2 years ago aren't bothering me now. I can still see them, but they're not bothering me. And the shift is so subtle that you don't realize it occurred. In fact, you may not even realize that the calls were doing it until you start thinking about it. And all the little advances. And this is kind of grace in action, because you didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to work on anything. You didn't have to find your flaws and fix them. If you took the counsel of this call, you would say, all I have to do is stop. See, every time I start focusing, you have to take this and make it applicable in the moment. It's got to be something you can do, all right? I mean, you can't say, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't gossip. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do that. You'll say that to yourself, and the next day, you're doing it. What you have to do is observe yourself. Everybody can observe themselves. And then learn your tendencies. Learn the things that pull you down. Write them down on a piece of paper. And then when those tendencies come up, just observe them, put them into the light. Send love to them. Don't resist them. Send, okay, I love this. I'm letting it go. I'm loving that I have the opportunity to let this come up. And when you start to gossip, when you start to talk about someone else's fault, catch yourself and backtrack. And if the other person wants to keep doing it, just say, I'd rather not talk about John. And I have this new policy of only seeing the best in people. So I know he's got his stuff, but I don't want to focus on it. And, you know, this is like reprogramming yourself at a really fundamental level, and you can do it. This will change you. You will become a different person if you can do this for even a few months. You know, it's not an instant gratification thing, but over a few months, you will shift, and you will become suddenly, almost like didn't even notice it, these huge patterns will start falling away, and you'll become a different person. And actually, you're not becoming a different person. You're becoming a person that's operating at a higher level. at a higher dimension, at a higher reality umbrella. And you look at all those things that you were doing, and you'll see the other people still doing it, and you'll become a leader because you will be able to help those people get over those patterns. When you get over a pattern in yourself, you have now become a master at that. And all those people that are still in those patterns, and humans are all going through this stuff, and they'll be attracted to you. On some level, they will know you got over those patterns and that you can help them get over those patterns. You'll have the wisdom, and it's the path of excess that leads to the palace of wisdom. So don't judge any of it. Let it all occur. Let it flow, and just observe and put things in the light and let them go. Correct behaviors. You can't correct deep set patterns that come up. Sadness, you know, hate, rage, jealousy. You can't change those by making yourself wrong. You can't say, I shouldn't be jealous. Oh, I'm bad, you know. But you can correct behavior. Behavior is what comes out of your mouth into the world, because that creates karma. And the key is once it's in the world, now it's in somebody else's brain as well as your brain. And even if you correct it in yourself, they're still carrying it. And you were responsible for them carrying it because you put it into the world. So if you're gonna be processing a lot of garbage in yourself, you can have other people give you support while you're going through it. But don't inflict it on other people. Don't talk about other people in a negative way, because now you are creating things in other people's consciousness that they're going to walk away. And even when you repair it in yourself, even when you transcend it in yourself, they're still carrying it. You're responsible because you put it out into the world. So pay attention to how you manifest. And it is 10:50. And before I'm going to finish this topic, I think I'm finished. anyone else have anything they want to add to it?
Well, I think it has the ring of truth, and also the ring of something that's so hard to remember. Oh, my goodness, how hard that is to remember. You know, in the press of the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? It's an overarching technique, which is, if you really want to work this, at the end of the day, have a little piece of paper and say, where did I succeed? Where did I fail? And write it down. You know, okay, I was gossiping about so-and-so. So-and-so really pushed my buttons. And I really reacted, and I went through feelings of great jealousy when I saw this other woman who I thought was cuter than me. And, write it down and laugh at it, then burn it. And every day write that down. And this is a process that you can actually do. And if you do it, it'll keep reminding you to go through your day more consciously, so that you can work these things through. This does work. I mean, I've done stuff like this for myself. And for wherever I am today, I know that doing these little kinds of things like this, even when, I mean, I went through, there were periods in my life where I thought I'd never get through it. It seemed so overwhelming, some of the negative stuff inside me, the feelings, the feeling oppressed, and feeling that way every day for a year and saying, this is just who I am. I'm never going to get through this. And yet I did some of these very same things I'm telling you, and bit by bit by bit by bit by bit, I untangled a bunch of stuff. It's not fast, but it works. And if you're serious about graduating this realm, if you're serious about keeping an open heart, it's like these are all things that stand in the way. And the more intensely committed you are to doing this, the faster you'll get through it. And anything you want to say, Terry?
Well, I think it's very important of what Carla brought up of loving it, because love is something that can dissolve the negative. When somebody is being negative, or let's say the case of being jealous, it's because it's what they want. They want love, and they're afraid, if I'm not pretty, I'm not going to get love, and therefore they want to covet the beauty. And, so if you love them, then a lot of the reason for being jealous can dissipate if they feel loved enough. So I think love is very important.
Thank you. But you know what? We're going to go into our visualization. And before we do, I promise, well, actually, I offered. And, you know, Jim Leeds, here's that guy with that deep voice that on the line coming in quite often, is actually sharing Terry's house in Sedona with us and helping a lot of things. Been a great help on many things. And he happens to be a really talented guy and plays music. And he plays music sometimes in Calvin Lesson homes, and he plays piano. And I'm going to play, I'm not going to play the whole thing, it's 11 minutes, but I'll play a few minutes of some of his piano playing. This is a little demo tape. So just a second. Let's see if this works. I got this right.
Hello, I'm Jim Leeds, solo pianist, and I have here about 10 minutes of my favorite melodies, and I hope you enjoy them.
was it hard to find a place to stop that? Jim was so good at flowing from one song to the next. So it's very sweet because Jim goes and plays these little gigs at convalescent homes, and Terry goes with him. And what a team for all those old people at those homes. Oftentimes I've mentioned, what a great place. You want to get out of yourself. Go where somebody needs you. You know, one perception I had, okay, this is my perception, that part of the reason for being is because someone needs you. Now, I don't mean in a codependent way. I mean, it's kind of like we give the Elohim an endless excuse, and the Rogers an endless excuse for them to exist because we need help. And so they can do it from a higher level. They can help us. And on one hand, we can be so dumb as humans because we don't want anyone to meet us, because if somebody needed us, then they'd be dependent on us. And we don't want anyone dependent on us, because then we couldn't do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it. But then we sit home alone all the time and want somebody to love. But nobody can meet us. Well, you know, this is a trick here, because need creates, you know, you have to dance on it. It's like dancing on top of the need. It's, on one hand, the need creates the reason for being. When people need us, we have a reason to exist. If nobody needed us, why bother? Let's just go and dissolve into nothingness. But you have to learn how to let people need you in a way that you don't feel trapped by their need, and that you can need other people where you don't trap other people. And this is the art of flow. This is the art of dancing on the tightrope. And because if there's no need, there's no reason to be. Need, I believe, if you go back to the original creation of the universe, the one infinite creator was all by itself, and it needed a reason. Now, I'm speaking on its behalf, because it doesn't usually talk to us. So excuse me if I get this wrong, but it needed to be needed, and it needed to create subdivisions so it had a reason to be, okay? Because otherwise, it was just eternities of aloneness. And each of us is a microcosm of the one infinite creator. And we need to do the same thing in our own life. Find ways to be, allow ourselves to need and be needed in such a way it doesn't trap you, that you can stay right on the fulcrum, right in the center point. And that's the beyond duality point. And everything just works. And I never said that before. That was a really interesting way of looking at things. And on that note, let us do our little visualization. And the universe is all made of one energy, and we're part of that energy. And some of you can feel that energy now. Some of you, if you're not feeling it, are going to really feel it big time in a few minutes. Because what we do here is expand ourselves into those other holograms, the ones we read about, the other dimensions. I believe we do this. And the first thing, if you want to experience this, is get your mind out of the way. This is not a mental process. You know, some people think that if they're in a room and a couple of ETs sit down next to them, that they've had transcendental experience. And what we don't realize oftentimes is we are always having a transcendental experience. Because in the law of one, those ETs are part of you. And every being in the universe, everything in the universe has an energy field. And physical bodies are separate. The energy fields can coalesce. And that's what we're going to do now. First thing is we're going to shut our eyes and put our feet flat to the ground. And we have this beautiful Mother Earth underneath our feet. No matter where you are in the world, we all have this in common. Right now, the Earth is alive. And the Earth knows we're here. The Earth is aware. And the Earth has hosted our energies for thousands of years and many, many lifetimes. Because we don't remember any of that. But the Earth does. And we're going to invite the Earth to send her energy into each of us if we want it, if we're open to it. Not to violate anyone's free will, and feel the energy coming up through our floors and through the flat of our feet. Feel that energy in your feet, tingling, focus. And up through our legs and up through our calves and up through our groin and up through our entire body. To the top of our head. And you know how it feels when you're relaxed around a good friend and feel the energy of your friend being shared with you? So we're having a good friendship with the Earth right now. Now we're going to move the energy from the Earth, from our top of our head, above our heads. Remember, we are an energy occupying a body. But we have the illusion that we're a body tuning into an energy. But we're really the energy. This energy is us. Our body's going to leave, but this dent in the hologram, this perturbation of energy in the hologram is us, it's you, and it stays. We're above our top of our head. We're moving up to the ceiling. We're moving through the ceiling, and if there's any rooms above you, we're moving through them, through the roof, into the sky. And through the sky and through the clouds and through what's called the veil. Now, the veil is very thin right now. The veil is this energetic block around our planet designed to keep us contained, to keep our energies contracted, to keep us stuck here while we're moving through the veil. And just do this in your imagination. Don't worry if it's real or not. And we're moving through the solar system, You can't see the planets. It's all energy fields. This whole solar system that's rotating, it's creating, we're part of us is always there. Why do you think astrology works? For those of you that have had that experience, it does work. It works because even though we can't see the planets, our energy fields are there. And they've been changing our energy fields for our entire life. And we're going to keep moving through the planets and going above astrology. And we're going into those realms beyond matter, beyond physicality. Those are those realms where we can touch ourselves, where we can experience this concept, this age-old concept, that we're all one. You know what? It's a duality. We're all one and we're all separate. We like our separateness. We like to feel each other. We like to bounce off of each other. So it's the separateness that creates that. And it's the oneness that creates the love. So we touch into the oneness. We are the masters of our own energy when we can assume that. And we can blend our energies with each other. Just by intending it, just by thinking of it. Everyone on this line, everyone on the replay, let's just say, I love you. You know, we're doing this as a team. I'm not doing this. I'm facilitating it. But I can say these same words, and you're not there, and it doesn't happen. You're part of the creation of this energy. And we can invite our sources into this energy. We can create a great, huge, huge conglomerate. And just imagine that it's happening. You can't see it. I can't see it. If you're noticing shifts in your system, in your body, if you're feeling expanded, maybe what I'm saying is real. Maybe it's just our imagination, but it certainly feels good and it feels loving. Just hang out with that. Not about believing it in your mind. It's about having an experience. And we just bless each other, love each other. We don't have to try, it's just there. Love is there. It's an expression of oneness. So we have a huge, huge energy bubble. It's all of us. It's all of you who listen in the future. It's the Elohim group. It's the Ra group, if they have to have names. It's God. It's the infinite creator. We're all together. We're outside of this realm. And at this moment, we are all tapped in to this higher level of potential creation. And creation occurs in this realm because of your intent. There's nothing that's supposed to be. You are an expression of God's will. You have that power. You're not God. You're an expression of part of God. And as you move up these reality umbrellas, you hit that energy of the Creator. And you are the Creator. You just haven't accessed the energy. And that energy moves through you. It honors your intentions. And this is your moment to put in this pool of energy those things which you would intend for yourself, for the people around you, for our planet, for healings. This moment, the universe is listening. Ask the universe for what you need. Remember, it's for the highest good of all concerned and honoring free will. Okay, we're going to, let's see if Terry's unmuted. Are you unmuted, Terry?
I think so.
All right, I hear you. Okay, we'll just do a little invocation to the light. Now, we don't really have to do this, obviously, because we've already done it. But this is just a, you know, just to keep in practice. And also attaching this little invocation to the energy we just created. So when you do it, you can bring that energy in. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect everybody on this line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And we feel that same energy operating as a microcosm from the inside out, from our cell, from our atoms, from our cells, and moving directly to the Creator, to ourselves, healing our own bodies, making us strong. We invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to, and anything not of that nature must leave now, and I turn it over to our sources as they speak to us through Terry.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to be with you, each and every one of you. And we are here in the earth plane and available to you, not over the telephone line, not through the radio, not through the computer, not through the written transcript. We are beyond that, and we are directly here with you. The words, the sounds are merely directives to direct you to us, and you are in our focus, and you are loved more than you can possibly imagine. You are part, a spark. You are part of all that is, a very important part. And if each and every one of you can take a moment and take a tally of all of the good aspects about you, all the good things that you have done, all of the successes that you have that are service to others, you can set up a foundation for yourself to know that you have contributed. You are contributing. You are needed. You are a needed part of the whole. And you have your own way of contributing. Sometimes if someone has something negative that they keep hanging on to, it is because they want to be loved in spite of some mistake that they may have made in the past. And they want to keep making it until somebody loves them to love them through it, and then they can let it go. You are loved in spite of any mistakes, in spite of whatever has happened. You are loved. And that is a basis for building, for confidence in your own self, for being able to set your path and walk one step after another into your future with something solid that you have built on. You can learn that you are love, you are beauty, you are a beautiful action in motion, and you are the creator of that. You are the one that is in control, and this is precious, and we are with you. We are not in control. You are the one that is in control. And if it is by default that you allow others to be in control when you would wish to be in control, then there is an action that you can work on. And you can start it by knowing that you are loved, and you are loved, and you are a beautiful being. in spite of anything that may have happened. And we love you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we got some comments. I'm just going to read some of the comments that come in. Blaine, the Longchamp, just sends thank you to Jim for his music. And Roger Newcomb says, reminds me of Liberace, which is what I was going to say. I said that last week. And Jyoti said, was talking about needs, and she put a couple quotes here. And I guess it was things that I triggered her on. Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field, and I'll meet you there. And that is from Rumi, a famous poet, Sufi poet. If any of you like that, go on the internet, because he has really beautiful, inspiring poems. And then another person, Margaret Beatley, said, when we seek for connection, we restore the world to wholeness. Our seemingly separate lives become meaningful as we discover how truly necessary we are to each other. Thank you, Jyoti, for sharing that. And it's kind of what I was saying. And N.E. Thang, and I don't have a first name, just Mr. Thang. It's really about getting neutral. If you can't review from neutrality, then you're in judgment. Even reacting with love can be a judgment. Like a fundamentalist saying, I'll pray for you. Thank you. I don't know if I meant that when I said that. When I said surround something in love, it just meant moving into a higher hologram and looking at it from that higher place and surrounding it in a loving energy. When I feel loving energy, I project something and it converts things. But it's a matter of if it works for somebody or not. Susan Rush, just say thank you. Thank you. A beautiful talk. And CJ Hill in England is saying, what about the people who are rude and verbally aggressive towards you in a job? Should you ignore it, move through it, or leave the job? What about if your partner is being unfaithful? Should you ignore it and move through it? You know what? Everyone has to figure out the right way to do this. There is not a right answer. There's only a right attitude. If you're around someone, I mean, in every situation, you have the right to leave a situation. And if you're trapped in a situation like a job or a relationship, and you really feel you're trapped, and that the other person's energy is trapping you, and that you're only the patterns that you have moved through, then it's time to leave. One of the things I've observed is people that have felt that they were in a trapped situation in some way leave the situation, and their next situation is exactly the same trap, which means they were creating the trap. The other person was part of their creation. They'll pick another person who tends to not be loyal. They'll find another job where people are rude and verbally aggressive or whatever, you know? So these are things that you have to uncover and discover for yourself, okay? I don't know the answers because it's individual. And then we have from here. Let's see. Gigi, who's listening on BBS, and she's finally joined a team shift group on the weekends with Colleen in Vancouver. And Gigi, you know, if you have affinity for the work we're doing here, and if you feel the energies, and if you feel alienated, like in your personal life, there's something called team shift, where a small group of people, like 3 or 4 or 5 people, or even 2, get together every day, they call in the light, and they get to know each other. And that's, a lot of people have been really helped by participating in that. It's kind of a freewheeling, it's unmoderated, there's not a lot of rules, but coming in with the high intent and calling in the light is what works, okay? And we are now going to bring that energy back down. I don't know, I'm doing this out of order today. So let's just go into our bodies and feel that connection to the higher realms and realize that we are always connected. The connection is a thought away, a person away, a good deed away. You know, one of the things that I recommended to the team shift, to Edna, to suggest, you know, the groups and team shift, is that everyone, like, you know, it's a small group, 3, 4, 5, 6 people at the most, and go around and put things in the light, and that they all write their names down and put them in their pocket, and as many times as they want to think about it during the day, they take those names out, look at them, and send the light to those people. Send the light. Create affinity. Send loving energy. And whenever you do that, you can't do that without sending it to yourself as well, particularly with a highly intended group, where the energy bounces back. We all need that. That's part, you know, that need that we have for each other. That very same energy that we're creating on this line, you can learn to create that with these little groups. This is a universal principle, the way this energy is created. And that the universe follows your intent, and that energies come together because people intend them to and want them to. And when they come together for a higher purpose, you can bring in greater aspects of the universe. In fact, highest aspects of the universe. And God is only intention away. The Elohim is only an intention away. And so what is your intent? My intent is to create a loving environment, a group of people who can feel each other and that can learn to be more than who they were, where they can learn that they are a child of the universe. And they're not alone. And we're doing these calls, and I constantly get affirmation that we're doing that. And that it's an impossible thing to do, and yet we're doing it with a bunch of people that don't even see each other, that don't even know each other's names, but whose spirits are flying free and connecting. And that is a miracle. And what's your intent? Find an intent that is higher. There's a saying that goes, when a man's reach, let's see, when a man's reach goes beyond his grasp, that's when he discovers heaven. When a man's reach, what's your reach? How high can you reach? Who can you touch? What's your part in making a difference? How do you get above lamenting your own difficulties, your own problems, your own dysfunction, your own diseases? Don't wait to get over them. Reach. When your reach exceeds your grasp. It's different for every person. The universe will respond to match your action, your intent. Now let's go through here various mentioning to me, I'm forgetting the individual healing issues. 7:37, we have enough time. Okay. So let's use our energy and Marcia, who has been working for Jim Cole for a long, long time. And Jim has been a person that has an alternative health company. He's helped a lot of people. And he's had a lot of oppression from regulatory agencies and all kinds of stuff. And Marcia's been putting it in the light for a year now or more. Jim Cole's stuff, okay? Huge gratitude for the positive outcome of Jim Cole's all-day disposition preceding his upcoming November trial day before yesterday. Thanks so much for holding his protection and ability to be heard for the truth and goodness and he gives and wants to keep making available to the world. He said it was as if a divine intervention was totally present and in charge. He said every word they threw at him, it was as if they were a tennis match, and when they threw words at him, he slammed it back with huge love and truth, and it blew their minds. They didn't know how to respond to it, but they've never encountered someone who openly is changing the world and can prove it. But the huge team behind the scenes was equally and is responsible as much as his personal will to change the world. The FDA lady who has been intent on destroying him was shown to have lied under oath and then stormed out of the room. But Jim said they sunk too much money and time into him, so not let him go without trying to take him down, even after this positive outcome. So he still needs prayers, protection, and grace. Thank you. And we have here, I'm so glad to hear that, Marcia. We'll keep it up, okay? Anna Dillons. I shouldn't read your last name, Anna. I won't read other people's last names. But for her brother, Augustine, cancer removed from his left lung, send healing to him to recuperate. Let's just all focus on Angela's Anna's brother. And then Marcia, wants healing for herself on all levels and energy and ability to do more of what she does. Michael in San Diego, sending the light to Anna and her sister, with stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and Leif in Rimrock, healing for her body, her bladder, urethra, small intestines, large intestines, and colon. And Laura in Portland, protection for the town of Ketchum, Idaho, for the wildfires going on, protection for the firefighters and town people. And she also asked, finding the right apartment and job for our son as he transitions to L.A. Jeffrey in Milwaukee. Jeffrey, I love this. Jeffrey must be a school bus driver. And he prays he has good kids on his school bus this year, and they will become peaceful. Jeffrey, when you're sitting in that school bus and no one else is there, I want you to bring this light into the bus. I want you to bring this energy surrounding the bus, and those kids will feel it. You can create that. You're bigger than a bunch of rowdy kids. Michael in Amarillo, Texas, we send light and blessings for the Veterans Administration application for disability. And Kathleen in Dallas, Texas. And she's sending light to her son, who's moving to Santa Monica, Thousand Oaks area in September. And Kathleen sent me an email. I know someone that might have an apartment for rent in our group, or a room for rent in North Hollywood, which is not that far from that area you mentioned. Kathleen in Dallas. And love and life for her sister, healing for hamstring surgery. And Rick in Iowa City. A job situation in Iowa City Parks. Thank you for the highest bid of all concern. Terry in Boulder City. Hi, Terry. I know Terry. Putting her dog into the light. She was euthanized last Wednesday due to a large tumor. I'd like to know she transitioned smoothly. And David in Grove City, Pennsylvania, sending the light to his niece, Kara, for her TMJ and migraines, and her sister, Tammy Thompson, for her kidney issues, and for Cheryl in Mercer, Pennsylvania, for her cancer. Carl in Berkeley, and healing for Bill King, Glenn, and myself, that we all may be joyfully in service for our holy purpose in gratitude. And then Pat in Alabama. Keeping her daughter, Emily, in the light. And again, take a moment and put everything, all your issues in this energy field and be part of the creation of the solutions. Right now, you're being heard. You're being felt. And we're going to do a planetary healing. And Carla, are you there?
I am.
You know what? I had such good feedback about the planetary healing you did on the Sunday that I didn't show up. You can say no if you don't feel prepared, but if you'd like to, I'll turn it over to you.
I'd be delighted. Thank you very much. Spirit, I'm not prepared at all, so I ask you to come and speak through me, as you always hopefully do. Let us come together now, not just for each other, but for Mother, for the Earth, for the sustainer of all, how much she has to bear from us, how many, many wars and empires and feelings of hatred and anger has she absorbed into her tectonic plates, and now they're uneasy, they're pressing against each other because this energy must come forward. We ask for the ability to make these energies easier, to keep them away from the populated places, to make that which must happen, happen more gently, more quietly, and with less human death, animal death, and disturbance. Let's envision the planet now as we're taught to do in those Mercator grids, the wholeness of it. Let's look at the ring of fire that holds the Pacific in thrall so many times, places in it, goes around Japan and comes around Oceania and comes up South America and up into the west coast of America. So many of our friends are on the west coast, and we just pray that this area may be eased and that earthquakes can be avoided. We go up California, LA, San Francisco, up into the northern part, Oregon, Washington, up in Canada, and around to Alaska, and just that whole ring of pray, please, may the energies ameliorate, ease, soothe, gentle down. And the earthquake at the New Madrid Fault that runs actually close to where I live down into Mississippi. Please let that ease also. And may the tremendous power of the air and the water, we ask the third density to ask the second density to ask the first density. Please calm and gentle those forces. We realize that these must express, may they express away from people, away from human habitation, in such a way as to let that rubber band of energy release, 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 just a little at a time, until all is well. Let's just ask any other problems that nature may have. May Mother be eased. May she be allowed to be gentle with us. May those great oceans be allowed to be quiet. May things gentle down. We realize that these things must happen to some extent. But there's always a way to move it away from population centers, and we just ask that that happens. The all those things. The fire of peace, the drought of peace, and things balance and come into balance. That which is lacking, may there be more of. That which is too much, may there be less, until it all comes into balance. And then let's look at what we are doing to each other. We came to America and we fought. We took a stand. We used our minds. We created a beautiful constitution. If we haven't read it for a while, let's familiarize ourselves with it, because it's really something. It's something to be proud of. And there are so many ways in which the forces of service to self are trying to niggle away at that and take away the liberty that we have, take away the freedom that we take for granted here. And in other parts of the world, not in America, not even in Europe, oh, how rare those freedoms are. Let us pray that we can honor the Constitution here in America and see what we can do in our little part of the world to keep the flag shining brightly as our founding fathers would have preferred. Benjamin Franklin said, we have a republic, if we can keep it. Let's just see if we can keep it into 500 years, into 600 years, and ease back from empire into finding balance, finding reason, talking to each other, sitting on front porches all over the world and falling in love with each other. May it happen here and everywhere. And there are places that actually are at war, so many of them. Some with us, and many not, having nothing to do with us, but having always to do with those who have a lot and want more, and want to take it away from those who have almost nothing. May we find ways to balance these excesses and cause these empires to crumble under the weight of their own wrongness. All these things we ask, dear Mother, dear Earth, come into balance, find the higher way, and bring us with you where we truly wish to be, in higher realms at all times, with you.
Thank you. You know, I want to thank my count my blessings for having friends like Carla and Terry and all of you who keep showing up and helping to support the energy of this and putting your hearts into it, and that bit by bit, piece by piece, drip by drip, we're changing ourselves. We're changing our planet, and we just wish you every dream that you have, every healing, every care, every woe can fix itself with the blessings of the higher realm. Remember, you're part of it. We're part of you, and we are a team in this realm that is working for the whole. And that didn't come out very well, but I'll try again next week, and we'll just close on Change My Heart with Gary Grant, who comes to our calls and is a great Los Angeles musician, studio musician, played with many people, sent me this play. This is Gary playing trumpet.